Now here's Proudhon, quote, "The principal cause of the evil of the current system lay in the accumulation and immobility of capital of all sorts. An immobility which prevented labor, enslaved and subalternized, and that means kept below every other, by haughty idleness from ever acquiring it. Labor invented money. Afterwards, this invention was revived and developed by the bill of exchange and the bank. For all these things are substantially the same and proceed from the same mind. By this means, the bill of exchange, oppressed equality was enabled to laugh at the efforts of the proprietors, the aristocracy, and the balance of justice was adjusted for the first time in the tradesman's shop. The trap was cunningly set and accomplished its purpose so thoroughly that in idle hands money became only dissolving wealth, a false symbol, a shadow of riches. This explains the constant fact of history that the nobles, the unproductive proprietors of the soil, have everywhere been dispossessed by industrial and commercial plebeians. The greatest enemy of the landed and industrial aristocracy today, the incessant promoter of equality of fortunes, is the banker." And I comment, this is why, as Wallerstein explains in his book, The Modern World System 4, Centrist Liberalism Triumphant, 1789, the date of the French Revolution, to 1914, which is the date of those two beginning of the two world wars that destroyed the proletaires of the 19th century that we heard Proudhon speaking to. Anyway, Wallerstein shows, explains in that book, sections of which we read in our Embracing Global Goals series of shows, for example, the November 15, 2015 show, that this is why they were called liberals. They shook everything up. They wanted to open up a closed system of birth determining your place in society. Continuing, "Through him, the banker, immense plains are divided. Mountains change their positions. Forests are grown upon the public squares. One hemisphere produces for another. And every corner of the globe has its usufructuaries. Every corner of the globe has its usufructuaries. Those who grant the use of their, quote-unquote, property, the earth, to another. The banker is at once the most potent creator." I would quibble with that. But I, in his sense, of obviously, yes. "The most potent creator of wealth and the main distributor of the products of art and nature, that's for sure. And yet, by the strangest antinomy, the same banker is the most relentless collector of profit, increase, and usury ever inspired by the demon of property." And I have to comment that Proudhon could not know, nor did we, before Alice Miller, "For Your Own Good," that the global statesmen have other demons that haunt them. We've named the mindset ever seeking this, its psychology, that of abandonment, its ideology, the republic, its practitioners, Plato's tribesmen. Continuing, "The importance of the services which he renders leads us to endure, though not without complaint, the taxes he imposes. Nevertheless, since nothing can avoid its providential mission, since nothing which exists can escape the end for which it exists, let's explore further in our next show what he means by this. Since nothing can avoid its providential mission, since nothing which exists can escape the end for which it exists, the banker, the modern Croesus from 6th century B.C., must someday become the restorer of equality. And following in your footsteps, sir, I have already given the reason, namely," and this is the sir he's talking to, which, never mind. "I have already given the reason, namely, that profit decreases as capital multiplies. since an increase of capital, calling for more laborers without whom it remains unproductive, always causes an increase of wages. And I'm commenting here, but we're going to think a lot more about what he's saying here, that unless we're enslaved, feminized, pauperized, which is a discussion we've had before, but we're going to include Proudhon's thinking in this as we revisit it. Continuing, whence it follows that the bank, today the suction pump of wealth, is destined to become the steward of the human race. And I'm going to quibble with my own comment here, because I'm thinking in reading this again that he's talking about his bank. What I had commented was that this is definitely the strategy and the plan of Plato's tribesmen, that is, to possess all the money. And I comment that he misunderstands their strategy, excuse me, their psychology, which understandable because they barely existed. What motivates them? He could not imagine these folk, truly, truly, truly. But let's think more about that. It is the bank. And I don't think he's talking about this bank system we got now. He's talking about the one we, how we modify, perhaps, the bank. We'll see. Continuing. The phrase equality of fortunes chafes people, as if it referred to a condition of the other world, unknown here below. There are some persons, radicals as well as moderates, whom the very mention of this idea fills with indignation. Let, then, these silly aristocrats abolish mercantile societies and insurance companies, which are founded by prudence for mutual assistance. For all these social facts, so spontaneous and free from all leveling intentions, are the legitimate fruits of the instinct of equality. Now, I say that to establish equality among men, it is only necessary to generalize the principle upon which insurance, agricultural, and commercial associations are based. I say that competition, isolation of interests, monopoly, privilege, accumulation of capital, exclusive enjoyment, subordination of functions, individual production, the right of profit or increase, the exploitation of man by man, and to sum up all these species under one head, that property is the principal cause of misery and crime. I have a feeling that last sentence will recur in subsequent shows. It's a really good list for us to think about as we plan the alternative. And Proudhon would abolish property by means of reforms to what exists without expropriation, both because with Karl Popper, he believes the development of we the people to be necessarily continuous, as it is our nature, our earth gift, to do so. And so believes with Karl Popper in piecemeal social engineering. And because, again, with Karl Popper, his frame for engaging in social change is the nation state. He could not see that the global state statesmen plan and act clandestinely, globally, with a Platonic vision guiding them, an ideological fixity on the need for rigid class rule, a so-called meritocracy, the belief in a master, quote-unquote, race. But another commonality, and one very much to the point of this discussion, is that the heart and love of both men, Proudhon's and Popper's, their guiding vision found rich sustenance in the teachings of the Christian prophets.